And now, from the diamond to the dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Twins Nation Podcast. I am your host, Matt Hoffman. You can start by following me on X at MDHoffman61. You can follow the show Twins Nation Pod at Twins Nation Pod. And also, we do have a Facebook page. If you want to follow that, you can go on Facebook and find Twins Nation Podcast. So, a lot of things have changed since we met last. The Twins have made some moves in the, I don't know if you want to call it in the front office, but more like in the entertainment part. Well, let's get started with that. First off, Corey Provis has been elected to be the new play-by-play man for all your Twins TV broadcasting. Some of you guys who don't know much about Corey Provis, he's been doing Twins Radio since 2012, so that's probably where most of you are going to be pretty familiar with him. He's been known to fill in for Dick Bramer, you know, a little bit here and there. Also, and what I did not know until recently was that he's been, you know, he calls some football games and some basketball games on FS1 and the Big Ten Network. So, and another little interesting note I didn't really know about him was that he used to do radio when he was with the Brewers. He did radio with Bob Uecker, which I thought that was pretty cool. So he's definitely got experience. So, and with that being done, Chris Atterbury will now move into the radio play-by-play with Dan Gladden. Just a little bit about Chris. He's filled in for Provis and Gladden kind of over the years, and he also did some play-by-play for the St. Paul Saints from 2002 to 2006. So, and I know at one point he was up for the play-by-play radio spot, but he was, they had chose Corey Provis over him. And so, no, that'll be great. I think both of them are very good at what they do. So congratulations to Corey and Chris, and definitely be different not hearing Dick in the, you know, booth anymore, but definitely got a couple familiar voices and faces in there. So moving along, some of our key free agents have signed with some other teams. Sonny Gray just recently signed with the St. Louis Cardinals. It was a 3-year, $75 million contract, which I'm not really surprised that he did not re-sign with the Twins. I know the Twins wanted to try and give him a qualifying offer, which I really, even if they, you know, I expected him to turn it down. I thought he could definitely get a better deal somewhere else, which obviously he did. You know, 3 years, $75 million, that's basically $25 million a year, where a qualifying offer would have just given him around just a little over $20 million. And the Cardinals have been spending some money. Not only have they signed Gray, but they've also signed Gibson, who the Twins fans, you should be really familiar with. Kyle Gibson has joined them, and they just recently signed someone else, but their name is kind of skipping my mind at the moment. So right now, after a really bad year, the Cardinals are going to try and be the team that they should have been last year, a first place club, you know, and compete for the playoffs. So they're already bulking up their starting pitching. So Kenta Maeda signed with AL Central rival Detroit Tigers for a 2-year deal, worth $24 million. I'm a little head scratched at this move here, as I kind of thought after the last couple years with the Tigers spending the money that they have in some of these contracts, you know, like with Javi Baez and, you know, some of the others, that I figured they'd want to take a kind of a step back and just, you know, go kind of roll with some younger players. But no, I mean, they signed a good veteran player in Maeda. So 12 million a year. I definitely probably more than what the Twins were going to offer him. All I can say is, you know, good luck to him, and, you know, hopefully things work out for him. Also, just recently, Emilio Pagan got the deal of a lifetime, I think, as he signed a 2-year contract for $16 million with the Cincinnati Reds. So this one was another one that was kind of a head-scratcher. So I know the Reds are definitely looking for some guys to kind of put them over that hump to help them out with that very good young talent that they had last year. And yeah, you know, we kind of know what we had with Pagan. You know, the first few years with him was just, asinizing. It was, you know, he was really known for giving up long balls and, you know, basically kind of killing us. And last year, you know, I was one of them guys just kind of waiting for, you know, he had a good year and I was kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop, but it never did. And so, you know, that's definitely another guy that the Twins were not going to probably re-sign, especially not for that kind of money. But anyway, so, you know, best of luck to him also. Also, in some recent news, the Twins have decided to put Christian Vasquez on the trade block. If you guys don't remember, we signed Christian Vasquez to a 3-year, $30 million deal, which right now he's got 2 years and roughly around $20 million left, depending on how his contract was constructed. I'm really, you know, I don't blame the Twins for making this move, especially with the year that Ryan Jeffers had. You know, they just weren't sure last year if he was ready to make that step, you know, to be a primary catcher. And so, you know, the Twins went out and found a guy who could, you know, a good trusty veteran that, you know, thought that could really help this club. And, you know, Vasquez just wasn't that guy last year. In fact, I raved about how much I loved the move that they did, you know, how much they, you know, I loved the move when they got him last year. And I, you know, I stood by it. And yeah, he was definitely a letdown last year. He started out as our number one guy, but if not halfway through the season, definitely 2/3 of the way of the season, I was pretty much considering him our number two guy. And, you know, we just don't really need a guy like that, you know, especially not for the money that we're paying him. And he's definitely valuable for somewhere else. And I think the Twins can probably get somebody to kind of, you know, take a jump on him. I'm not sure if they'll pay the full contract. The Twins may have to eat some of that, depending on what's involved in a trade for him. But yeah, it's a little sad that I wish, you know, that Vasquez would have worked out, but you never know. I mean, he may not be traded and he might still be with the team, you know, and then the Twins will just have to kind of live with that bigger contract, you know, with him being a second catcher. So I guess time will tell on what happens there. So moving along, in some Twins transaction news, Ronnie Iniquez and Giovanni Moran were both non-tendered. Then Emmanuel Rodriguez, Austin Martin, and Junior Cervino were both had their contracts selected from the minors, which means that they are now part of the 40-man roster. So definitely gonna be, there's a good chance that we might see these guys, you know, depending on what the Twins do in this, as far as some moves in the offseason here or during free agency. Definitely some guys that we'll definitely want to see. I know the big name here is Austin Martin, who, if you don't remember, he was acquired during the with Jose Berríos. It's been kind of a hard to figure out who's kind of had the better end of that trade, which when Berríos was struggling with the Blue Jays, but, you know, because we hadn't seen Austin Martin yet. Right now, obviously, the Blue Jays have had the better end. So the Twins really haven't gotten to see what Austin Martin can do yet, as he just hasn't progressed as quickly as I think, you know, or hoping he was or would. And I know he had some injury problems last year. So, so next on the docket I have here is arbitration talks. So right now the Twins have some players that are basically on the arbitration list right now. And for those of you who don't know much about arbitration, basically it's the players want this kind of money, the team thinks they should make this money, and there's somebody kind of in the middle and kind of just working out a deal here. And anyways, there are 7 players who are on the arbitration list for the Minnesota Twins this season. And those are being Caleb Thielbar, Kyle Farmer, Willie Castro, Jorge Alcala, Ryan Jeffers, Alex Kirilloff, and Nick Gordon. Kind of taking a look at all these guys. Caleb Thielbar is, you know, he's soon to be 37 years old. He's looking for, now this is just an arbitration prediction, is basically he was looking to make, in 2024, to make $3 million. And I think that's actually a pretty good price for Caleb Thielbar. I know last year, you know, he had some injury issues and, you know, he didn't play really a whole season. But I think the Twins are likely to, I think they're likely to hang on to Caleb Thielbar and, you know, pay him the $3 million. I definitely, he has been an anchor, the left-handed anchor for this bullpen for many years. And I really can't picture this bullpen without him, as they just don't have, you know, a good older veteran to take his spot, especially as a lefty that I feel comfortable with. So I think that, you know, so I'm hoping the Twins will likely go with the $3 million. The other guy I think that will be really likely to get to make it through arbitration will be Willie Castro. His numbers for 2024, like I said, this is just prediction salary, is $3.2 million, which for what, if we can get the same type of production that we got out of Willie Castro last year, you know, not only just, you know, hitting the ball, and, you know, defensively, he was, I definitely loved him in the outfield last year. He did a really good job in filling into a lot of gaps, you know, especially in center field, not having Byron Buxton, and which is also another reason to sign him, because we know that Buxton is not going to play a whole season next year due to the surgery that he's having this offseason. So for, you know, $3 million, I mean, why not? So I think that's a really good idea. But he also, Willie Castro is also due for another arbitration year next year in 2025, unless they decide to, you know, just give him a contract straight out. But I kind of don't see them doing that because of the current payroll situation that the Twins are going with, especially with letting go the pitchers that I had mentioned earlier in the episode. And so the Twins, you know, need to have some of these guys for pretty cheap right now. So Willie Castro would definitely be another guy, I think, that will most definitely take the, you know, have the $3.2 million contract for pay for a year or so while under arbitration. A couple guys I think are on this list that I think are going to be really high on signing. Obviously, Ryan Jeffers. That's a no-brainer. Jeffers is a, if through arbitration this year, his prediction is $2.3 million. So, once again, if you can get a guy whose production went up from, you know, 2 years ago into last year, and then we can get just, you know, the same thing, if not better. I mean, $2.3 million. I mean, that's going to be a steal right now. And he's got another, this is his first year of arbitration, so he's still got a couple more years of arbitration before he could elect free agency. Moving along, Alex Kirilloff, who's another man you know, he kind of had an injury-filled season too. Had some surgery in the offseason here. He's in his first year of arbitration. His prediction number is going to be at $1.7 million, which even for the 300 at-bats, you know, that he had this year, or around 300 at-bats, $1.7 million for his, you know, the kind of player he is, I think is definitely worth it. And I think the Twins should go with that. And this isn't, like I said, is only his first year out of 4 years of arbitration. So the Twins definitely have a chance to hang on to him for a while. Now, a couple guys I think are very unlikely to get through arbitration this year. I don't think the Twins are going to do any, three guys, I should say. I don't see the Twins going with Kyle Farmer. Right now, they think his arbitration number is going to be at $6.6 million, which, you know, like I said, with what the Twins are doing payroll-wise, that's a good-sized chunk for a part-time infielder. Then again, you know, last year we had a lot of injuries and he, you know, got a lot of playing time, as did Castro and then, you know, some of the other, you know, like Michael A. Taylor, you know, some of the other guys. I just don't see the Twins going for that number. So hopefully they can, you know, work something out. Another guy I do not see making it through arbitration either, even though he's still got one more year of arbitration, or next year has another session of arbitration before he could become a, you know, before free agency, is Jorge Alcala. He has just kind of been a little disappointing for me the last couple seasons. especially with the injury. You know, his number is around $1 million, which, you know, the Twins are, you know, are not going to spend that kind of money on a guy that who hasn't been able to really stay healthy the last couple years. I can definitely see them just kind of letting him go into free agency and move on. And then the last one, it's kind of an interesting deal, and I don't know how you people feel about it, but I'm okay with letting this guy walk, is Nick Gordon. He definitely did not, I mean, he was injured. You know, he had that one great season, you know, that one great breakout season, and then he's just been kind of mediocre at best. You know, and now you have Royce Lewis coming and Brooks Lee coming, and you got a lot of guys coming up who can, younger talent that can, you know, take these spots in the infield, and, you know, and there's even some of this young talent coming up in the outfield too. And I just don't feel like there's really a spot for Nick Gordon on this team. So I would have to say that the Twins are probably not going to go for his arbitration number, which they think it's going to be around $1 million. So I think they can definitely use that somewhere else. And so basically the guys I definitely, again, the guys I definitely see being part of this crew, out of this group, is Thielbar, Willie Castro, Ryan Jeffers, Alex Kirilloff. Like I said, the guys that don't be surprised become free agents are Kyle Farmer, Alcala, and Nick Gordon. So, but like I said, you know, time will tell and see what the, see how this all works out. Arbitration is kind of a, it's kind of an interesting ordeal. And, you know, it's amazing to see how far off a lot of these teams are as far as, you know, what they think versus what the player thinks they should be making. So we'll just have to kind of watch and see what happens. So, all right, so moving along. Free agency has started already, obviously, with some of our former Twins being signed away. I know I'd mentioned in previous episodes of, you know, some of the things that the Twins were going to need in this upcoming season. One of the bigger needs, I think, is going to be a first baseman, with Alex Kirilloff having off-season surgery and Solano as a free agent and Joey Gallo is also a free agent. The Twins don't have really a huge option right now at first base other than, you know, in my mind, Jose Miranda. So that is definitely a position that the Twins are going to be needing to address this coming offseason. And again, you know, the money is a huge situation, and I should mention that Ed Julian can probably play some first base also. I am pretty much going, I'm going to give you some names here of some guys that they're not really costing a lot of money. I don't think they will. You know, because I know the Twins are kind of looking for, you know, some guys that, I know they really want a first baseman who's got some power coming into this this season. And I got a couple names here. One guy is Mike Ford. Don't know if you know much about Mike Ford. I'm escaping what team he played for last year. He had 219 at-bats, batted .228. Had a .323 on base percentage and 16 home runs. I'm not real familiar with him, you know, as far as his history, but I know he's been around a little bit, mainly a platoon player. Another guy I had on my list. Now this one should be more known to a lot of baseball people, Brandon Belt. He's a little older. He batted 330, or he had 339 at bats last year. He batted 254, had a 369 on base, hit 19 home runs last year, which I think is pretty huge. You know, with that many at bats, I mean, if he was a batted a full 600 at bats or more, I mean, you're looking at a possible, you know, 30 to 40 home run hitter there, which is something, you know, would be huge for the Twins. But obviously, you know, Belt's not one of them guys that's going to be an everyday player. Another guy I had on this list, Garrett Cooper. For those who don't know much about Garrett Cooper, he's played with Miami the last few seasons. Last year he had an okay season. He batted, he had 422 at bats. He batted 251, 304 on base, 17 home runs. His defense isn't the worst. He's mainly, like I said, he can mainly play first base. I know he's been known to play a little bit of third base when needed. And then, of course, another guy I had on the list, which, hey, I would welcome him back with open arms, is Donovan Solano. You know, 394 bats, batted 282 with a 369 on base. He obviously doesn't have the power that the Twins are hoping to get for that position, but hey, you know, a 369 on base, you know, and the guy played out of his mind last year. Definitely one of our many bench players that stepped up when we had the injury plagues. So there you go. There's a few names to throw out there. I'd be kind of curious to what you guys think on some names. You know, and just kind of keep in mind that the Twins are definitely not going to be spending a lot of money. So these definitely have to be guys that are probably platoon players that are probably going to be in that, you know, $2-4 million range. Another big position, obviously, the Twins are going to need with the Byron Buxton situation is center field. You know, Michael Taylor is at the top of my list. But I also think Michael A. Taylor has definitely played himself out of his contract worth from last year. I believe he was only making maybe $2-3 million last year. And he's predicted to go between $7-9 million, you know, to get it per year for a contract. So, you know, and obviously his stats last year, the 355 at bats, you know, hitting 220 with a 278 on base, you know, the 20 home runs, and I think he's probably one of the best defensive center fielders in the game. I mean, it's, you know, he's definitely earned that. So I think that's going to be a lot harder for the Twins to maybe re-sign him. Another guy I think the Twins can maybe take a look at, I think he's going to be a lot more money than he was previously last year also, is a guy that played with Toronto Blue Jays, Kevin Kiermaier. He had 370 at bats, hit 265, 322 on base. He's not really a home run hitter. Had 8 home runs last year, and also I think he is definitely a top 10 center fielder in the game. Very good with the glove. If you guys don't remember, he played for a few years with the Tampa Bay Rays and was a very, very solid outfielder for them. One other name, this guy was really hyped up when he first came in the league, you know, for being an okay hitter and, you know, definitely another solid defensive guy, but he's kind of struggled his last few seasons. But, you know, he went from St. Louis, got traded to the Yankees, and now he's on the streets, is a guy named Harrison Bader, who I've been kind of a fan of. You know, last year his bat was really not his game. He had 319 at-bats, batted .232, 274 on-base percentage. You know, he had a few home runs, you know, like 7 or 8 home runs. Definitely a guy who's really good with his glove. Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of hard right now with center fielders because we really don't know exactly how long Buxton's going to be out. And, you know, I would definitely think Willie Castro is going to make it through arbitration. So, and he's definitely going to probably take that spot in center field. But do you want him playing every day? I think the Twins definitely need somebody to kind of switch out with him. And, you know, it's hard to say what the Twins are going to probably look for in a, you know, a part-time center fielder. But, you know, Michael Taylor was supposed to be a part-time center fielder, and, you know, we used him quite a bit last year, and, you know, he prevailed. So, moving along, we're going to kind of shift over to the outfield, in a spot in the outfield. I think the Twins this year definitely need something that they didn't go after last year. They definitely need a right-handed hitting corner outfielder. You know, we thought for sure last year that Kepler was going to be traded and, you know, that they were going to bring in somebody who could, you know, somebody who could bat right-handed and play the corner. But that obviously was not the case, as in we had a slew full of lefties. Most of these guys on this list are not really what I call, you know, I should say they're not real huge power hitters. I mean, they're definitely, a lot of these guys could probably hit around that 15 to 20 home run range, which, hey, a team full of them guys can make a huge difference. Anyways, you know, a lot of these guys are a little older. And these are guys I definitely had on my list last year, or at least a few of them I did last year that the Twins should have gone after. First off, let's start out with Adam Duvall. Adam Duvall last year played with the Red Sox, I believe. He had 320 at-bats, batted .247, .303 on base, had 21 homers, which is a good decent year for him. I definitely think he's a very above average defensive corner outfielder. He's 35 years old. But like I said, we're just looking for somebody out there, you know, for against righty, you know, or against lefties. You know, his contract, they're kind of predicting him to be in that 7 to 9 range. Like I said, these are just predictions. So, and I think he could be a good help out there. Also, another guy moving along, Tommy Pham. I don't know how much you guys are familiar with Tommy Pham. I think he was the guy last year that got into a little bit of a, I don't know, let's just call it a slap incident with Jock Peterson over a fantasy football thing, which, you know, I'm not a huge guy on Tommy Pham, but he's definitely probably the kind of guy that the Twins, money-wise and production-wise, I think they could, you know, maybe go after. He had 426 at-bats, hit .250, you know, hit .256, .328 on base, 16 home runs, and, you know, he's always been pretty solid in the corners. But once again, 36 years old, so he's, you know, closer to the end than he is to the beginning. So, another guy wouldn't be a bad idea. Played with the Colorado Rockies last year. Jurickson Profar. He hit had 459 at bats last year, hit .242, .321 OBS. Could play outfield and first base. So, I mean, there you go. There's an outfielder who can come in and play first base, you know, kind of like Gallo did. And another one that this one's kind of high on my list, but it's also just depending on what he's looking for a salary, is Hunter Renfro. He's 32. He had 498 at-bats last year. He kind of moved around a little bit. He was with the Angels, and then I believe he finished his season with the Reds. He hit .233 and had an on-base of .297, which that's a down year for him. 20 home runs. The guy's definitely got some power. He always has had power. I definitely know Hunter Renfro is better than what his hitting was last year. So, and that makes me think that the Twins could probably get him, you know, a little bit on a cheaper deal. And then probably the question here is, what do you think the Twins are going to do with starting pitching? Do you think they're going to, you know, stick with what they have? Because right now the Twins starting five looks like Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober, Chris Paddock, and Louis Barland, which, you know, that's not a terrible starting five. Actually, I think that's a very decent starting five, especially the first three. Paddock, which, you know, we finally got to see a little bit of Paddock, you know, in the playoffs, and kind of, you know, just to see what he can do, and definitely did really good in a relief role. Not sure what he will do, you know, when he has to pitch more than a few innings. Then you had Louis Varland, who last year started 10 games, you know, 68 innings. Had an ERA of 4.63, which is a little high, but, you know, he had his struggles last year, and for the most part, other than that, he did fill in pretty good when we had to sit Joe Ryan, and then when Bailey Ober was out, and all that stuff. So, like I said, I mean, do the Twins really want to go after a starting pitcher? And, you know, they definitely got to find somebody cheap. And unless, you know, obviously they trade away, you know, the three guys that I think are on trade block right now, you know, between Max Kepler, Jorge Polanco, and now Christian Vasquez, which those three guys together are a combine of $30.5 million, which is a huge chunk of this payroll right now, because the Twins want to be around the 120, 125 range. I mean, I'm hoping they go up a little higher, you know, because last season I believe they were around the 155, 165 area. So I'm not sure how much they're cutting. So with that being said, I mean, I got a few starting pitchers that, you know, I mean, these guys are, you know, once again, not, you know, set the world on fire guys, but, you know, they could help balance this rotation out a little bit. One guy is who I think he's seen his better years, but he's still got something left in the tank, is a guy named James Paxton. And if you guys aren't familiar with James Paxton, he pitched for Boston last year, and he pitched for Seattle before that. He's 35. Only pitched 96 innings last year, as he had a little bit of some injury woes last year. Had a 4.50 ERA with a WHIP of 1.31. Like I said, nothing flashy, but he's definitely not a type pitcher of guys that we've had in the past, you know, like a J.A. Happ or a Michael Schumacher or a Dylan Bundy. I think he's way better than that, even as his, you know, at 35. Another guy I have on this list, I think is a very decent pitcher. He may cost a little bit more money, but with his little bit of a rough year he had, I think he can come down, and he's still quite young yet. And this guy, his name is Jack Flaherty. Flaherty, he's 28 years old, pitched 144 innings last year, went 8-9. He had a 4.99 ERA. WHIP was a little high last year, 1.58. I know when you look at baseball stats, a good WHIP number is anything under 1.3. So he struggled last season, but I know in the past when he's pitched with St. Louis, he has definitely had a lot better stats than that. So, and being 28 years old, he's kind of right in the middle of his career. Another guy I am kind of looked at who, might not cost a lot of money either, just depending, is a young man by the name of Alex Wood. For those who don't know who Alex Wood is, he pitched with San Francisco. 33 years old, also kind of had a down season last year, only pitched 100 innings. He had a 4.33 ERA. Once again, 1.43 WHIP, a little high. But if you look him up and, look up his stats in the past, he's always, I shouldn't say always, but mostly been a better pitcher than that. So definitely another guy that could, like I said, maintain that balance. And now this guy, of all the free agents that I think the Twins should go after, I think this guy here could fit in way better than anybody out there. And definitely will not cost a lot of money. He's definitely cheaper than Sonny Gray. He is cheaper than what Kenta Maeda went. And this guy, his name is Michael Wacha. And you know what? And some of you guys might recognize his name because he's come up a lot as far as somebody that the Twins should go after. Michael Wacha, he's 32 years old. He's pitched with San Diego. And I'm kind of drawing a blank in a few other places he's pitched. So sorry for that. But anyways, last year he pitched 134 innings. He went 14-4, had a 3.22 ERA. WHIP was pretty high though. He had a 1.16 WHIP, but I think that can definitely change with him, as I said, he is my number one guy on this list of starters. So there you go, guys. That's a little bit of a list I have kind of going there right now. Like I said, I'm probably way off on all this stuff, which, hey, it's okay. I'm doing this for fun. I don't work for the Twins. I do not know what the Twins are always thinking, much like most us guys can't figure out what our wives are thinking. So I just do this for fun, and, it's kind of just be interesting to see what you guys kind of think. So I think we'll end the podcast here tonight. Let me know what you guys think of some of these guys I mentioned, or if you guys have some ideas, feel free to throw them at me. I'd like to know what you guys think. You can follow me at MDHoffman61 on X. You could follow Twins Nation Podcast at Twins Nation Pod on X. And you can find us on Facebook, so at Twins Nation Podcast. So I hope you guys have a good evening, and next time we'll talk. Hopefully the Twins have made some moves and give us something to talk about. All right, you guys have a great night.